Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krops.
All righty, friends, welcome to a new week as we begin talking about the political issues of the day that do impact your life. And we hope, I pray, that you get something out of value from every one of these shows and our interaction together, whether you're calling me at 503-589-1220. That is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Or you're sending me an email to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Here's what we're talking about today. Let me just throw these subjects out there. Should Oregon prisoners be allowed to vote while they're in prison? I say no. Yep, there's been a bill introduced to make Oregon the third state to allow incarcerated felons the right to vote. And guess who's introducing it? Yeah, it ain't conservatives and it ain't Republicans. And in a classic liberal doublespeak, you won one. What are you saying? What do you mean we won one? Yeah, you turned up the heat on Representative Marty Wilde, my state representative, a liberal Democrat lawyer, happens to be in the Oregon Guard, who withdrew his unconstitutional bill to clarify, which is doublespeak, for giving the governor the authority, new authorities, to seize your property in an emergency. And, of course, we'll get into the doublespeak about this and what that is. Now, the reason that's important is because you need to know what kind of doublespeak is out there, because the average person's just not kind of paying attention to it. And after this show is, you know, this entire purpose of this radio show is to simply give you tools to change your world by talking about the issues of the day in a way that helps you persuade the persuadable, just in a common sense, normal way. And by the way, that gives some solutions to what's going on out there. Now, there's another story here that's really, this is really interesting. Evergreen Family Medicine, this made national news, folks. Evergreen Family Medicine has a posting from the 25th of last month, because it's February 1st now, right? From January 25th, masking the science. And they say, we wish mask worked. These are two medical doctors. We wish mask worked, but they don't. In this post, and we're going to talk about this, in this post, there is irrefutable evidence from other countries about how masks don't work. Plus the same thing, and with also data here in America compared to other foreign data, just the irrefutable conclusion that we talked about, that again is common sense. The huge number of Americans that are wearing masks, again, just any place you go, all around you see people wearing masks. And yet, COVID exploded. How could that be? Well, it's because these two medical doctors point out the obvious. They don't work. Why? Well, we'll get into that. And in something that really is a great story that we should all be grateful and trumpet and just be thankful, there is a new fund that has been established that helps specifically kids who lost everything in the Santee Ann Canyon fires. And this is just such a marvelous thing, because out of these tough things that have happened, that just have devastated people's lives. And it has. I mean, if you've ever had a fire, I never have. Thank God. I've never lost everything of my personal possessions in a fire. But a longtime childhood friend of mine, whose land I rent and farm now, did. They lost everything. The whole home burned down, and they lost all of their memories and things that were important to them and pictures. And that's what they shared with me was the most devastating thing about it. It wasn't that they could, then, frankly, they rebuilt a beautiful home, much better than the home that they had. But still, they wish they had not had the fire because of how much they lost in that fire that's irreplaceable. So this is a great story, and it is about this new fund, and it helps these kids in the Sandy M. Kenyon School District. And this is a school district that I have a lot of experience with, because this is where the school that I helped found, Oregon Charter Academy, this is where we are chartered to this day. Now, I say we because I'm no longer on the board. They've gone on, and they're doing good things, and it's time for me to fully focus on this radio show and my farm, since now I've had to take over my father's farm following his passing. So it's a good thing. Sandy M. Kenyon School District is a wonderful school district, but they bore the brunt of this thing. They did. They had 8 employees that lost their homes in totally. And many of their other employees were displaced. And it's caused great upheaval in Oregon Charter Academy and the people that are Oregon-based companies that service Oregon Charter Academy. They helped out a lot. And now you can help out also. And we'll get into that. By the way, there's a companion story in the Oregon, in the Statesman Journal. It says, after months living in hotels, wildfire survivors are moving into FEMA trailers. It's a good thing. This is, again, is one of the most important things that you can do, as you know, is have a sense of home. And I'm so grateful for, this is one of the few things that government can do well if it's run well, and that is help people get through these kinds of devastating things that happen in their lives. And in this case, this young man, Nick Schumacher, lost his farm and his family, and they've been living in the Shiloh Inn for the last couple of months, and now they've had the opportunity to move into one of these FEMA trailers, and they're not just travel trailers like happened at Hurricane Katrina. These are much nicer, and so out of the 800 homes that were destroyed, many of them have just been renting in little trailer parks and so forth. And this is these are much more permanent kind of little single wide homes. You would call them park models, I guess, for lack of a better term. Anyway, it's a good thing, and it has it gives you that sense of you have some place to call home now while you're waiting for the rest of your family and things to get all squared around and get your home rebuilt. And that's the problem, is it takes a long time. It just doesn't happen overnight, as you know, whenever you have this kind of a devastating thing. So anyway, we're talking about all of these subjects today. Kudos to them. We'll get into this fund that you can help, that can help these kids who have just been displaced by fires here in the Sandy M. Canyon. It's one of the great things that you can do locally. So before we go on any further, I just want to thank all of you who showed up yesterday for our KSLM Freedom Celebration. What a great party that was. Just wonderful to see hundreds of us get together and be socially spaced, as we had room for people to sit apart from each other with both tables and in the church pews at the Ames Ranch in the big airplane hangar. I mean, it's an airplane hangar that'll hold about 800 people. if you look at the fire marshal's criteria for things. And we probably had 300, maybe a little more than 300 people there yesterday. And it was just a great time. It was great music with the 45th Fret. It was live country rock music. A lot of the great country rock songs that we remember. And frankly, it was a family-friendly event. We had a bunch of kids there with their families. And that was the part of it that we, I mean, just, you know, when you get together in a group of people, and we haven't for a long time, it's one of the things about it is hearing babies cry, right? And there were a few babies there, and you know, occasionally they cried a little bit, and it was good. It was good to, and I heard that from so many of you as you were talking with me, as I was roaming around prior to dinner getting started. I know that we got started late primarily because of food service and so forth, but man, what great food it was. What awesome food it was. And it wasn't just the great food from Adam's Ribs and Kira's restaurant and the great little desserts that we had from the little place in Silverton, and I'll find the name because it just escapes me for some reason. But also our great sponsors, Freedom Heating and Air. They were there in attendance yesterday, and Tick Liquor Firearms. I don't think they joined us yesterday, but you know, they were certainly one of the great sponsors of the event. It was just fun to get together, and that's what I heard from people. We've needed something like this after months of not being able to meet in large numbers. It was just fun to get together, and it was. It was good to have a party with great music and honor the people, and we did, of both law enforcement and fire in the military and our veterans. There were a number of groups that we had hoped to have join us, but for various reasons, and I explained it yesterday, I'm not going to get into it today. They just couldn't be there, even though they wanted to be there. And we still will give them KSLM's Heroes Awards because they're still our heroes. And they're still out there working for us every day to keep us safe, whether it's the Oregon National Guard helping in the fires up in the canyon, as they did. We gave them an award yesterday. They were actually there. Recruiter Daniel Mora, who, by the way, has just recently recruited the husband of one of our owner's daughters. They have a mess of kids, and he's going into the Oregon National Guard. And that's, you know, I mean, they're already married, and they have a lot of kids. And that's going to be an extraordinary, difficult thing for them to do as a family, but they did it. Anyway, Sergeant First Class Daniel Mora was there, as well as Sergeant Ross Childs of the U.S. Army Recruiting Station was also there. He's unmarried, but he came, and we had a great time chatting. He's an airplane pilot like me, and it was fun talking, sitting down talking with airplanes with him and flying. And his whole family's been, he's the fourth generation U.S. Army soldier. And so many others, including our great law enforcement folks, and it was fun to be there. Appreciated each and every one of them. Appreciated seeing every one of you. Thanks for joining us yesterday at the Freedom Celebration. Back in a moment at 6:20. Come on and sing my song.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at kslm.news and Jeff at 1220.am. And I have just a ton of emails to read. And I'm just going to have to kind of take them as we go along. Some good news, by the way, is also out there. You know, one of the most important ways that you can win anything in life, in a contest, and an election is a contest, right? I mean, that's what it is, but same thing is true with sports. You have to go on offense, right? You got to score points. So in the battle, there's a story on Breitbart about Republican lawmakers in key battleground states are going to tighten the vote by mail rules. Now, yes, that's a good idea because it was a mess in both Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania. At least in two of those, well, Pennsylvania's got a Democrat governor, so that might be a little bit of a difficulty. Georgia has a Republican governor, a rhino, just like in Arizona. In fact, Arizona's governor was censured by the Republican Party of the state, along with John McCain's widow. Doug Ducey is a McCainite. So, I mean, neither of these Republican governors helped Republicans at all try to get to the bottom of some pretty obvious voter fraud. At any rate, they're going on offense, and this is not only the right thing to do, but it helps the next election to not only be more secure, but really the political opportunity that it presents is to keep the base of voters engaged. Because the one thing that you cannot have is you cannot have discouraged voters out there on our side. It is the sure way to permanent minority status, the sure way to lose elections, I'll tell you that. You got to be engaged. Now, Ted Cruz was pretty critical of Trump because he blamed Trump, and this is just happened in a video, for reckless and irresponsible rhetoric. And he didn't prove any election fraud in any case. Well, not a single election got to that point. Isn't that kind of problematic, Ted? Now, Ted's a lawyer. He's a very smart guy. I supported him over Donald Trump in the beginning of the primary contest, because at the time I didn't realize what Donald Trump really was and how he would govern far more conservatively than I ever thought he would. I mean, I just didn't believe it. You've heard me say that, and it was true. But Ted Cruz imploded on himself because of his ego and just who he is. I'd still much rather have him any day serving in the U.S. Senate, because he's a reliable conservative. And he is right to a point that I would say Trump has not yet proven election fraud. Now, there is without a doubt, there is an incredible amount of evidence that's out there that is provable. There is no question about it. It's you can see it with your own eyes. You can look at the data and you can see it. Now, here's the thing. This is the dangerous part, and this is what these Republicans in these battleground states must do. And that is, they must tighten up the election laws, not just mail-in voting, but the election laws that allow the possibility of hacking, of vote manipulation within the election machine process. This is critical. Now, here in Oregon, Michael Cross alleged that there was an update to the state's computer system at 8 minutes till 8 o'clock on election night. Subsequently, yes, the Secretary of State's office now, because we and others have been investigating this. Yes, in fact, in Oregon, this happened. But they said it was no big deal. They're literally telling us it's no big deal. It clearly violates Oregon statute, folks. They not only admitted that it happened, but that it was no big deal. It didn't affect anything. It violated state law, folks, because at that point, under the law, it must be recertified. It was not. This is why I'm telling you there needs to be a federal lawsuit filed. Literally. Put this in federal court. And let's go look at the actual data logs. Let's see what was, in fact, updated in these machines. This was in the Statesman Journal story of Steve Trout, the Oregon Elections Director, getting fired. It was in the story. So now let's get the whole story, right? Or the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Why don't we do that? Doesn't that make sense? The only way it's going to happen in Oregon is for a federal lawsuit. In battleground states, these Republicans are going on offense. We must do this if we're ever going to have the faith that the election systems are real. Real evidence still has to come forward. In that sense, Ted Cruz is at least partially right. Trump has got to prove it in court at some point, somewhere. It's 6:30.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 24 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us today as we begin a new broadcast week. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Or shoot me an email to jeff@1220.am or jeff@kslm.news. Yes, I have two of them. Yes, yes. Thanks, Walt. Walt was there yesterday with his lovely wife, whom I did not have the opportunity to meet. Darn it. At any rate, Main Street Bistro. Yes, yes, yes. That's the other great little restaurant that provide. They're in Silverton, and they provided us with some wonderful refreshments, desserts, cookies, and pastries. It was just awesome. So Main Street Bistro. Thank you, Walt. I appreciate that. Really was great to just meet so many of you yesterday at the Freedom Celebration. And I want to thank the Vice President of the Oregon State Police Officers. These are our state troopers. Their Police Officers Association, Josh Wetzel, for driving up from Southern Oregon, folks, with his family, his wife and two daughters that I got to meet, to just come up to have a great meal with us, receive our KSLM Heroes Award, and say some great things at the microphone, which is what I ask each of them to do, our award recipients, and they did. And I was just, you know, they had to leave a little bit early because they, you know, had a long drive back home. I mean, they drove all the way up here for this thing, and I really appreciated that effort to do it. And thanks to Josh Wetzel and OSPOA for being, they have 700 people in their union. that, and they're not all road troopers. They're, you know, the people in the crime lab and others. They're all part of the union. One of the reasons that we specifically thank them is because every day they put their lives on the line. And it's just like firefighters. Unfortunately, we couldn't get anybody from Salem firefighters. And I explained again how all of this happened and how you have to go through chain of command. And sometimes it takes forever to get chain of command to get back to you. And then it's too late to find a replacement. And everybody wanted to be there. In fact, we had a number of veterans groups that wanted to be there. But frankly, one of them at least declined because they did not want to run afoul of the governor's COVID orders, right? And we respect that. And we may not agree with the COVID orders and all of that, but it worked out fine as it was. And we'll still, again, we will still give out those awards to those groups because I want to make sure that they know that we're serious about this. We are very grateful for firefighters who, you know, I spent 30 years in the fire service, and I was a firefighter on the line for 12 years. And I will tell you that, you know, you put your life on the line every time you go out on a freeway or a busy highway to, you know, show up at a car wreck, and you got to flag people around you. I can just tell you personal stories about almost getting hit. In fact, some of our vehicles were hit by drivers not paying attention. And that's sadly why we have crosses and memorials to firefighters and law enforcement on our freeways and our highways, because they've been hit and killed in the process of helping us. And that's why we honor them. It's a dangerous environment. Tom Johnson, of the Salem Police Department that was there to receive the award on behalf of their union. I want to thank him, and his wife showed up and gave a great speech about what they do and the fact that they appreciate, because I'm telling you, especially in law enforcement, yes, I know I got dinged yesterday for calling them cops. Our keynote speaker, Lieutenant Colonel Jim Huggins, dinged me for that, as did Pastor Lou Wutan of the River Church, who came and prayed over all of our award recipients, including all of our veterans. Yeah, it's a fire versus law enforcement thing, okay? Anyway, law enforcement just doesn't hear it enough. You know, when we show up as firefighters, paramedics, people need us, and we're kind of there as their rescuers. But I got to tell you, you know, people are more thankful to us, even though we don't hear it enough. But, you know, at least we get notes and cards. You know, when I was on the Sublimity Fire Board all those years, without fail, every month, the chief would give us communications that were received by our fire district. And we're almost all totally volunteer in Sublimity, like most fire districts around Oregon. And, you know, people just saying thank you for whatever. Cops don't get that. They just don't. Because usually what they have to do is to resolve disputes, or they get in the middle of things, family, domestic disputes, or certainly the sadness of bad people at traffic stops doing bad things to law enforcement. And, you know, it's typically a much more negative environment that they live in. And I have great respect for them, because it's tough. I mean, the divorce rate in law enforcement is huge. It just is, because it's a tough job and it wears on you mentally. And how, you know, guys like Tom Johnson, I think he'd said he'd been on the force at Salem for 25 years. That's a long time to experience that kind of negativity in your life and to keep a good perspective about it. The same thing with Marion County deputies, whether they're at the jail or parole, probation, or they're the road deputies that we meet, that we encounter out there. You know, it's a tough business, and it's tough to keep your perspective all the time. It just is. And I'm grateful for the fact that they do. And I don't know how they do it, just to be honest with you. I mean, it's, again, I look at it from my years of being in the fire service, and it's, you know, our world is different than their world, and they just do an incredible job. And again, that's another reason that we wanted to have this party yesterday, to just say thank you. Just say thank you to so many of these people that do so much for us. I got to tell you, too, by the way, I want to say thank you to Freedom Heating and Air. They're one of our regular sponsors. They sponsored the event yesterday, one of two, with Tick Liquor Firearms. You know, and the owners were there, and you know, these people really do go above and beyond to help you. When you call them, it's usually because something is not working right, or maybe you've just come to the realization that the old heat pump is about on its last legs and it's time to get a new one. Or maybe you were like me when I bought the farm in Sublimity. We had an old 220 volt furnace, electric furnace in that thing. And the power bill was just skyrocketing. And so, you know, I had a new heat pump put in. I upgraded. And that cut my bill by half. And it worked a lot better, too. Plus, it had air conditioning in it. The old 220 furnace didn't. You know, if that's the kind of thing you're faced with in your home, or maybe the old electric furnace or the old furnace just isn't working right, natural gas or anything else, you got to give them a call. Freedom Heating and Air. Check out their website at freedomheatingandair.net. freedomheatingandair.net. So there is this story about felons that are going to be allowed to vote in Oregon, according to a new bill that's introduced. It's a Willamette Week story. The headline is, Oregon prisoners could get the right to vote while incarcerated under a new Senate bill. Senate Bill 571 seeks to change Oregon law so that a person who is registered to vote and is within physical custody of jail or prison is allowed to vote. Currently today, you're not. Maine and Vermont both do this, okay? Two pretty liberal states. It would allow people who are in prison to register to vote while they're in prison. And it says that they'll get all of, you know, the ability to vote and your voter's pamphlets and all of that, and they can legally cast a ballot. It has eight sponsors, House and Senate members, that are all liberal Democrats, every one of them. Now, we've allowed people who have been convicted of felonies the right to vote under certain conditions. Once they've served their prison sentences, number one, and they've paid back their fines, which is the right thing to do. But this is a step well beyond that. During the time that you're making amends for whatever it is that you have wronged people with, during that time, why should you be allowed to vote? Shouldn't not being allowed to vote, losing your right to do that while you're in prison and while you're paying restitution, as judges rightly and Oregon law rightly allows those restitution conditions to be placed on part of your sentence, shouldn't you pay a heavy price if you go into prison? What do you think about that? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. I don't like it. I don't think it's the right thing to do. What do you think? I'd love to hear your perspective on it. Back in a moment. It is 6:48. Lots more to talk about. Don't go. Poverty.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It's 10 minutes till the top of the hour. One more hour to go after this one. As you know, we are on the air from 6 to 8. Tonight, by the way, is Dan Bongino's story. It's not only his story. I mean, it's the story of his life you're going to hear if you haven't heard it already. And it's the debut of his radio show at 6 o'clock this evening. You will no longer be able to hear the first hour of Political Coffee rebroadcast. I know I heard from several of you yesterday that you're aware of this. You wish you could, and you can. And you know how you can? You just listen. In fact, it's even better because you can just listen to it on your computer whenever you want to. At your convenience. Let's just go to the podcast. So you go to kslm.news and hover over where it says podcast at the top. And every show that has a podcast on this radio station is there. So just go down to move your mouse down to Political Coffee. Click on that. Up comes the podcast page for this show. And then scroll down and find the show you want to listen to. And then click on that. Now you can click on the first hour if you want to listen to it or the second hour. And then below that, you will see all of the stories that I use from the internet and the links you can click on and you can read the same story yourself. This is really important. By the way, thanks, Becky, for being there yesterday. And she sent me a video about the takeover of America by China. And in that, by the way, her emails, there are some great quotes she has. And one of them is from Abraham Lincoln. And this relates to our freedom celebration yesterday. Here's what it is. He said this, quote, "We the people are the rightful masters of both Congress and the courts, not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the men who would pervert the Constitution." Amen. That is so good. So what do you think about giving incarcerated felons in Oregon the right to vote? Shouldn't they, as part of their punishment, have to not be able to do that? To pay a heavy price for it? I think so. By the way, there's a companion story here on the Liberty Daily. It's a town hall. It's companion to this one I'm going to get into in a moment here. It's called Masking the Science. These two doctors in Oregon are saying masks don't work. And they give the evidence as to why. Well, Town Hall's got an article. It's called Six More Questions About Masks Our Overlords Refuse to Answer. This is part two, and it's an opinion piece by Scott Moorfield, who's one of the columnists at Town Hall. They have a huge group of people. And you probably saw over the weekend Dr. Fauci, who once again reverses himself. It's just stunning how he can get away with this. And he, in fact, the picture is him with wearing like multiple masks. We talked about that last week, right? He said, well, masks don't work initially. Then he said one, and then he said two. And then there was this university that came out and said, no, you need three masks. And then, not to be outdone, a doctor on NBC said, no, you need four. So here's the headline from the Fauci flip-flop over the weekend. Fuhrer Fauci flip-flops, it says. Don't do double whatever. He flip-flops again on wearing two masks. It's just stunning. There, by the way, there's a red-lettered headline. Journal of Medicine says hydroxychloroquine and zinc reduces Chicom virus deaths. Now, the Journal of Medicine, it was saying, ah, it didn't work. Now they are. Funny how that happened after Joe Biden became our so-called president. Yeah, I can't quite go there, folks. I'm sorry. Where I can go is to remind you that Eric Azer and Righteous Renovations is, in fact, one of the people yesterday from, I think it was Eugene, had said that they had heard me talk about Righteous Renovations and the great work that they do in remodeling bathrooms and kitchens and other things around your home. And they called, and the Righteous Renovation just said, yeah, I mean, that's just, that's out of our area of operation. We don't go that far south. But by virtue of the fact that they chose to call because they're looking for a good contractor means something. Because you might have the same questions. If you're looking for a contractor and you really don't know who to call, you should talk to Eric Azer and his team at Righteous Renovations. Check them out on the web, righteousrenovations.com. They've got pictures there, folks, of the great work that they have done for satisfied customers. In fact, you can read the satisfied customer comments. RighteousRenovations.com. So Evergreen Family Medicine, they're part of the Centennial Medicine or Medical Group. They're diving into this thing, and they wrote this piece from the two main doctors there, saying masks don't work. And they show data from Oregon here, okay? They show when the mask mandate was first put in place by Kate Brown. Remember that? That was July 1st. And you can look at the graph. And these are the daily new cases graph from the state of Oregon, folks. And then you look at the California data, and it's obvious they don't work. And then they show the daily cases versus a state with a mask mandate and states without mask mandates. And the states without mask mandates have a lower level of daily cases than the states with mask mandates. And it's substantial. Now, the chart lines sort of mirror each other. And that tells me this, just logical common sense. If a state with no mask mandates and much looser COVID rules mirrors a state with total lockdown rules like California and like New York and Oregon with mask mandates, the masks have no impact at all. That's, again, this is official data from the government. So why are we allowing ourselves to be bullied into wearing masks? Well, that's what these two doctors talk about in this long piece. And I'm going to get into this a little bit further into the next hour, along with your phone call. Should incarcerated prisoners in Oregon, felons, get the right to vote in prison? I say no. What do you say? Back in a moment, 6:59.